Support for this episode of Fright Day is brought to you by Studio. Elegant audio products with studio quality sound and minimalistic design. Shop now at studiosweden.com.
Hey guys, thanks so much for listening. If you'd like to support us, please go to patreon.com/frightday.
So I threw away a plant today and it scratched me. It
looks Well, of course it did. You threw it away.
Yeah, the plant that you threw struggling as you threw the
problem is it looks
as you held the plant's head under
it looks
water.
Like defensive wounds from some sort of assault.
Oh my gosh.
Just keep your sleeves down until it heals, man.
Exactly. It's frustrating.
And that made me decide never to do cocaine.
It is Fright Day. I'm your host, Byron. And when the ghouling gets rough, the notorious black-clad bad boy of supernatural battling, Zach Baggins and his team get going. In this case, to a little house in Gary, Indiana, said to be the residence of over 200 demons. But what will happen when the boys in black travel from the West to the Midwest? Spoiler alert, things get even more complicated than bondage pants. Find out how exactly as we review Zach Baggins' feature-length documentary, Demon House. And over the last 2 weeks, we've learned that truth is stranger than fiction. But even stranger than that is the hidden truth you'll hear in our third and final chapter, the conclusion of Harp. In this week's edition of Kelly's Cryptids and Conspiracies, I'm joined tonight by Kelly.
Uh-huh. Hi.
Okay, and Sam.
Hey, guys.
Half intros. All right.
It's good to be back.
It is good to be back.
You never left. What are you even talking about, Sam?
I know. I was gone for a while. We didn't record for a while.
Back from... That doesn't even make sense. You could say, no. Byron, it's good to have you back.
I'm Zach Baggins.
Okay, you stop mocking my Baggins.
I'm mocking. I'm very excited for tonight's program.
Okay, thank you. I hope so. God,
I mean, what'd you guys do when I was gone?
Nothing.
I started the new season of X-Files.
Really?
We did only watch one episode, but I'm very excited about it. And God, it's so much fun. I have a friend who's never seen a single episode ever, so we're going to start at the very beginning, and I'm going to watch all of them with her, and I'm going to relive what it was like to watch them all the first time. I'm so excited.
Yeah, I was talking to Sam before the show a little bit about this new season of The X-Files. I actually caught the second episode of the season you are talking about. I didn't finish the season before that, don't know why, but it involves a strange windowless building in New York City. It's at 33 Thomas Street. It's a real thing. Maybe we should cover it someday for the show. It's super weird.
Yeah,
it is a really weird building.
You know this building?
Of course I know this building. It's like very strange and it has no windows. I think we've actually mentioned it on an episode before.
Well, maybe we did.
I love the X-Files and I really enjoyed this episode. It has the worst car chase that has ever been recorded, even for television.
Okay,
it was
now
just
that's
terrible.
That's just a like, gross overstatement.
Just the quick cuts where you know that nothing's actually moving, but just real frenetic, like, bad.
I mean, Sam, car chases have improved a lot. Remember when they used to have the background that just looped around?
Went by you, yeah.
Think about the 50s. Think about Hawaii 5-0.
Think about poorly green-screened back windows.
Agreed.
Ronin is my standard of car chase.
What else did you watch?
Well, the other thing wasn't exactly watch, it was a listen. And I was trying to find something fabulous. I periodically get in a mood where I want to listen to fiction podcasts. I haven't found one that I really like in a while. Limetown is probably just never coming out again, and it's so annoying. I'm so sick of waiting for them. I don't even care anymore.
They got a TV deal.
I'm sure they did. They got a TV deal like 3 years ago. I don't know. They're super obnoxious. I'm over them. Anyhow, I did some searching, and I found this really cool podcast called Homecoming.
Order up patty melt, onion rings, and a Caesar salad.
Order in.
Hey, hi.
Hey.
The guy in the booth asked for a check.
Oh, okay, got it.
It's got the best voices on it.
Starring Katherine Keener, Oscar Isaac, David Schwimmer, David Cross, and Amy Sedaris.
So how was everything?
Oh, it's wonderful stuff.
Good. Anything else?
No, no, no.
I'll be right back with the check.
Oh, say Heidi, yeah? That's your name?
Yep, just like the name tag says.
Have you been working here long, Heidi?
About 4 years, I guess.
You are Heidi Bergman, right? That is your last name?
Yes, do I know
you? I'm Thomas Carrasco. I work for the Department of Defense. You worked at the Homecoming Initiative.
Well, yes, that was years ago, but what is this?
Heidi, I just have a few questions for you.
I don't really
How long
have
did
any
you
time.
Work at the Homecoming Initiative?
Wait, can we... I have a break. Can we talk outside?
Yeah, sure. Right now?
Yes, out back. I'll meet you there.
Okay, okay.
I'll be right there.
Sure,
no
problem.
Okay, I've got 5 minutes.
Appreciate your cooperation.
Why are you here? What's going on?
As I said, Ms. Bergman, I am asking you about your work at the Homecoming Initiative, but I have to say you seem to be refusing
I'm not
to
refusing
provide
anything.
Any,
I just don't remember.
Information. Okay. What about the name Walter Cruz? Does that ring a bell?
Not that I can recall.
First of all, when I started reading about it, I'm like, how the hell have I not heard about this?
Okay, and I did see David Schwimmer and got really excited.
Yeah.
No,
so,
that's the wrong response.
No, but here's the thing. I did not like Schwimmer at all. He is perfect in this. The first season is 6 episodes. The second season is 6 episodes. They're very digestible. It is a very cool thriller intrigue story. I don't think I can quite stretch it and say it's horror. But they are turning it into a TV series, and it's already,
really?
Amazon's doing it. Like, it's already filming.
Oh, man.
But it's not the same cast, unfortunately.
Hopefully it'll just be like Lore, where they just play the audio from the podcast.
Is that how that show was? I never watched it.
I never liked the show, so I never listened to it.
Well, that's because it's not as good as Captain Kelly's. But Julia Roberts is going to play Catherine Keener's character. I would just have loved to see Catherine Keener do it because she's perfect for it. I was totally drawn into this story. Amy Sedaris is in it too, and I'm going to butcher her name. I'm just going to say Maybe from Arrested Development is also in it. It's fantastic.
And Green Room.
At points, it's really hilarious.
Green Room.
Oh, you Shaw Cat.
It's actually pronounced differently than that. They pronounce it at the beginning, and it's something. I don't. It's good, but it's beyond
She's
my abilities.
Great.
I don't know.
It is such a fun podcast. I really recommend everybody check it out. Supposedly there's going to be a season 3, even though they are converting it to a TV show. And I really hope they do a season 3 because these voices are amazing. Everybody get into it. Actually, my guess is that everybody's into it and I'm the one that's late to the bandwagon
here. It is Gimlet Media. It's a very popular company behind.
It's so fun, guys. So I really enjoyed listening to that while Byron was gone as well.
You mentioned a couple things I want to bring up. First of all, Sam, David Schwimmer was the perfect Robert Kardashian in the first season of American Crime Story.
Okay, I've heard that.
It. Turned it all around. And also, while I was at South by Southwest, I bumped into 2 cast members from Green Room.
No.
One, the lovely Imogen Poots.
Imogen Poots?
Dude, that is pretty awesome.
Well, and then there's...
God, she was so good in that. She was such a sad character that turned out such a badass.
And I got a picture with Eric Edelston, who plays Big Justin, the skinhead bouncer.
Oh, really?
Yeah, he takes quite a beating in that film. Nicest guy ever. Super excited to take a picture with me. And it was...
Why wouldn't he be? It's you.
They're actors. They're very busy, but it seemed like he was genuinely...
I have selfies of myself from behind here to get you in them all the time while we're talking.
With me?
While we're recording. You don't see me do it, but I...
Please don't do that again. But yeah, I mean, you guys heard me briefly in the last episode talk about South by Southwest. Also, I wrote several articles, and I mean, I think the interview I had with the director and lead from the new Unfriended movie is going to be up at Friday.com.
I cannot wait.
Yeah. Who would have guessed it was Unfriended?
Well, it was me. I guessed it.
Oh, that's
right. It was pretty obvious. But if you're curious about South by Southwest, go to Friday.com. A lot of stuff is going to be rolling out on there if it hasn't already. So.
Woo-woo!
I had a great time.
Now that you're back and don't have thrilling things to do, I highly recommend checking out Homecoming.
Okay, maybe. A lot of other catching up I have to do.
Well, I know, but like on the way home tonight, for example, you could listen to the first 2 episodes.
I was just trying to maybe segue into what I did do.
Oh, but what did you do?
Okay, great job. Helped
Thanks.
Me out. I actually just 2 hours ago left the theater after watching The Strangers Pray at Night.
This place seems empty.
I think everybody leaves after Labor Day.
This is nice, right?
There's someone else staying here?
Is Tamara home?
I think you have the wrong trailer.
I thought we were all alone.
What the hell?
And?
Well, listen. I've got stream of conscious notes here.
Okay.
Oh, God, did you have your phone on taking notes in the movie?
Yeah.
You were a terrible person.
I'm a journalist, Sam.
Oh, God, he would have shot you.
I think it's a really good movie if you go in with low expectations. Super fun. The characters are elevated quite a bit. Pretty no-nonsense at the beginning. No frills. Just really jumps into the action. I love the strangers in general. They're my favorite group of slashers.
Oh, so good.
A very stylish bunch. The masks are iconic. I am surprised it took 10 years to get a sequel. I imagine studios were trying for a very long time to get this made.
That seems like there
Why
must have been a reason.
Why do you think they failed?
I don't know. The original director, Brian Bertino, wrote a script for The Strangers Pray at Night, and I know that they put a little bit of that into this. I don't think they used a lot of his original ideas, but he remains on as a producer, so at least he backed it or needed money.
Sorry.
God, Sam, you really got to go to the hospital.
When do
I've
I have time for
I've been telling him
that?
This for weeks.
Yeah, when no one has time. I mean, I've got that.
Yeah. The gut stuff?
Yeah, got to take care of that at some point. A lot of people complain about the 80s soundtrack, especially since it is not in the 80s. I still think it's kind of fun. It's some synthy score, but a lot of sweet ballady 80s songs that add like a weird levity to the situation.
Like real songs or songs that were just for this?
Like real songs. I know that there's a standout Total Eclipse of the Heart scene that's pretty amazing. I found myself just smiling the whole movie. You know, it's one of those like
people just dying. It's so funny.
It's a really cool setting. It takes place in a mobile home down paper thin and paper based walls because it doesn't really do much good in this situation.
Oh, right.
You know, things get wild. It's a lot of fun. I know that some people are going to be disappointed, but I'm sorry for you if you went in with huge expectations because I went in with very few and came out smiling. I had a good time.
Good. Okay, Sam, let's just keep telling ourselves how bad it's going to be and then we'll go and enjoy it.
Perfect. What?
Love
Byron
it.
Said it was good just now, though.
Yeah, but I just don't want you to go in expecting a great
See, the
film.
Reason he liked it's it is because he didn't have expectations, so we need to go in with the same.
It's going to be the best movie.
He's
Sam's
just not
confused.
Getting it.
Yeah,
he's just not getting it. Well, we're just going to move on.
It's going to be great.
Moving on. Do we need
now
to talk
I'm not gonna
about...
be able to sleep.
Well, he just unbuttoned his shirt. He's got a Stranger 2 t-shirt with the smiley face on it.
I do.
What should we talk about 4/18/18?
I got the mask. Just cut the eyes out.
4/18/18.
Do you guys want to talk about 4/18/18?
It's like a month from today.
It's a really big deal. So there's this crazy conspiracy thread that emerged, I guess about a week ago now, 5 days ago. Happened on the 13th of March. Twitter user named Ty posted a voicemail on his Twitter account.
And you, of course, want me to hunt down this audio and play it right now.
Sierra, Delta, Alpha, November, Golf, Echo, Romeo, Sierra, Oscar, Sierra, India, Tango, India, Sierra. Delta, India, Romeo. Romeo, Sierra, Oscar, Sierra.
His account was promptly deactivated. Alpha, Charlie, Beta, Delta, Epsilon, blah, blah, blah. So it was all of these NATO call, are those call signs, call letters, whatever?
The international alphabet or something.
It spells out, danger, SOS, it is dire for you to evacuate. Be caution, they are not human. SOS danger.
In English?
Yes.
Okay.
But then it also gave numbers 0429339642300. You could plug them in on Google Maps and you get a couple different places. One of them is in Africa and one of them is Malaysia.
Did you say Malaysia?
Yeah, the one in Malaysia is right near the coordinates where, do you remember that photo that was supposedly sent by the guy who stored the cell phone up his keister.
His personal locker.
Yes. Those coordinates match almost perfectly with the coordinates that were given here, which is really freaking weird. So this is going to be, this is a huge.
And I just, want to clarify, you're talking about the plane in Malaysia that went.
Yes. Okay. Sorry. missing flight 370.
Which was the first episode of Captain Kelly's Crimson Conspiracy.
It was, which is great.
Patreon.com/Friday. It's a great place to be.
You guys, there's this ongoing alternate reality game puzzle thing called Cicada 3031. And it's been going on for years. Some people say it's a way to get into the NSA. Like if you can solve these clues and the government recruits you. I don't know that there's any truth
Did
to any
know
of that.
Adam Lanza might have been recruited by the FBI.
Probably what? MK Ultra. Actually, we've talked about this before. Back to the story at hand. It would appear that once it was immediately released, there were some threads that started getting tacked onto it that made it appear that somebody was trying to diverge it into a Cicada 3031 type of deal.
Okay.
Is it 3031 or 3301? I always forget that. Anyhow, the Cicada thing. Now, what happened is there was a Twitter user. One of the accounts was HIJJ370.
That's a burner.
If you turn HIJJ upside down, it looks like MH.
And if you flip over, oh my God, 58008? What does that say?
Nothing.
Flip that over on a calculator. It says boobs.
Oh my God, you're an idiot.
Nice.
You're an idiot.
Yeah?
That's the only number I know is boobs.
So there have been all of these things. And the problem is Reddit's very interesting because people get pretty serious about it. So I'm trying to let the Redditors sort this out in terms of what is part of the original thread here and what has been hijacked for Cicada purposes. This is not the style of the people who release the Cicada clues. The Cicada clues are much more ambiguous. They're much more under the radar. I don't think this has anything to do with Cicada other than perhaps it's being used by people who are fans of Cicada to try and push it in that direction. As you might imagine, there have been just thousands of responses. Most of them are complete bunk. But the problem is, I think some of them in there are true, and there are people trying to sort those out. One of the most interesting posts that I have seen come up, I cannot help but read, so I'm going to do so right now. One of the people who's been facilitating this discussion on the Reddit thread posted this, saying a fellow Redditor sent me this.
For security reasons, my name cannot be given. I'm currently on the run and hiding in very different places. I need to tell this story. The public has a right to know what has happened.
Now get ready, guys, because this sounds a lot like Dulce.
The highly privileged computer scientist that was picked up in 2007 at 14 years of age as I wanted to hack into the CIA. After I managed to breach their systems, I thought I was undetected 2 days later, but I was arrested and placed into a highly technical cell. After a bunch of computer and security questions, they handed me a laptop.
So this is all nonsense.
Mm-hmm. Just listen. No, listen. This is really interesting.
They handed me a laptop and told me to build software that could pick up technical frequencies from the sounds they would play every 30 minutes for 30 seconds until I got it to work. They told me if I didn't get it to work, I would never see my family again. After 2 weeks of me trying to use the speakers to get the output, I finally managed to get the software to work to the bare minimum of what they asked. They brought me to a man who looked like a lawyer in his office. They left and I was alone with him.
What is weird?
During this, he told me to relax and asked how I was so good at computers from such a young age.
Was this guy really tall and skinny?
Please shut up and listen. I explained that I was interested from 8 years old and started hacking, and he asked if I was willing to work for them, NSA. For them, NSA, that is, but
I can't tell if you're covering up for his poor grammar.
It is really bad grammar.
Okay,
which
well,
is, that makes sense for a good computer scientist.
Well, it's definitely not leet speak.
But
Byron,
so
we need some technical output.
So, an international association under terms of a contractor, as I am not a U.S. citizen.
See, this is why his English is so bad.
Okay.
They paid me generously for the software I built and for the information on how I hacked into the CIA after 4 years of doing unclassified work in Europe for them. A lot of things changed when Edward Snowden leaked the work that I helped to build in the UK. Fast forward till 2015 when I was asked to go into an unknown location to talk to someone who worked for NASA, but was never given a name. He asked about the software I wrote in 2007, how I thought of it, and asked me to do UML drawings. For people who do not know, this is a language when a computer person doesn't understand how the code works with different sections of the application. He asked if I wanted to join a team of highly technical people from engineers to help make new unknown technologies for the government. I agree to my level.
Oh my God.
Keep in mind, he's sorry, not American. He's not American. Listen to this.
I mean, no, he's also not real.
Please just shut up and listen.
I agree to my level clearance was the highest it's ever been. This is when the title is important. I was moved to China in an unknown location that was the size of a desert with dirt tracks all around and dirt everywhere.
Deserts can be big or small.
There were hidden gray bunkers, except they were not bunkers. They were entrances where large trucks entered and left. And when we entered one of them, there was a tunnel that went down into the ground for miles. We were on the bus, 25 minutes, driving down into a tunnel. And when we finally reached the bottom, there was a big parking lot for cars and a road for the big trucks to continue on down. We entered this building that looked like the front of a hospital, and we were greeted by a Chinese lady who gave us earpieces and told us to put them in our ears. As soon as we did, we pressed a button on the earpiece and she started to speak in Chinese, but it was translating in real time to English. She said that they were to erase time wasting for communication of different languages so that work can be done faster. She showed us around and gave us wristbands that were assigned to our
this
DNA.
Is big.
Shut up. This is big. This is a big deal.
No. Hold up.
This is pasta.
What was big? Yes, thank you. What was big is the story in general. This man's like little addition to it is total.
This is not even a well-told story. Language aside, this is just.
Okay, well, so the upshot of his story is that they discovered that there were aliens coming for the planet and they were speeding up. They were moving faster than they thought they were before. And suddenly when they discovered it, all of them were reassigned to different locations.
Mm-hmm. 41818.
Yeah. So 41818, something crazy is supposed to happen. And I encourage everyone to filter through this crazy information because I will admit the vast majority of it is BS. Because a really cool story like this is going to bring out the crazies and you got to figure out what's the crazy stuff and what's the real stuff.
The thread is very complex.
Oh my God, it's unbelievable.
While driving in thick traffic.
Byron!
Trying to scroll through that.
Please, nobody ever do that.
Yeah, it's
please.
A bad idea.
It's a horrible idea.
Don't.
Some Redditor, please, because I'm not going to look at it.
Do it for me.
Do an honest TLDR.
Oh, that would be great.
A legit one.
I was going to say they should
for
probably
me.
Drive and text.
But. Yeah, so.
Oh, drive and text all the
they
time.
They are working
absolutely.
Really, really, really hard.
Well, they only have about a month until the world ends. So.
Anyhow, it's very, very interesting. I think that it's important for you guys to at least take a peek at this. I'm obviously going to be following this. We've got a couple great people on the Captain Kelly's Cryptids and Conspiracy. Conspiracies Academy that are looking at it as well.
Okay, but very
Pleiadians come into the story. I'm just going to let you know.
Very interesting thing that happened that kind of sparked my interest in this.
Yeah.
Apparently, someone posted this on the Fright Day Facebook group.
The closed group, which is an important distinction.
Mm-hmm. Facebook.com/group/Friday. You can...
Frightday.club.
That's a great place to go as well, as it takes you to the same place. But... it was mysteriously deleted?
Completely taken down. And in fact, Byron, I don't know if I told you this part, but a listener posted this in Twitter for me a few days ago.
Okay.
It was deleted, and then she tried to post it again, and it was deleted a second time.
And not by the poster.
No, not by the poster.
In any of these cases.
In fact, she said, I hope you see this before it gets deleted again. I don't know what's going on.
Well, that seems like something that someone who would delete it would say.
No, it really isn't. And this one, Nancy, our listener over in the UK,
don't
was the one
her.
That posted this one for us. It suddenly
just
disappeared.
Kidding, Nancy, I'm just kidding.
It's the weirdest freaking thing. And it's disappearing all over the place. Like people are posting it. And then other people are reporting that they're getting creepy email messages and that their devices are being hacked.
Mm-hmm.
It's very, 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 very. Very interesting. This could somehow connect Flight 370, Pleiadians, mm-hmm. NSA, underground bases. This is amazing. Please pay attention. It's so cool.
Well, Kelly.
I'm sorry, guys. I'm just really excited about this. It's a big deal.
I understand. Your head has been full of wild conspiracies for weeks now.
Although, I don't know. I'm starting to lose memory of a lot of it. I've noticed planes flying over recently.
Oh, God.
With white billowy trails floating behind them. And my brain just starts to lose more and more info.
Well, before you forget it all, we should probably wrap up this harp thing.
I suppose so.
In this week's edition of Kelly's Cryptids and Conspiracies.
As we ended our episode last week, guys, I was talking about the fact that though we have bid an official farewell to the government-regulated HAARP facility in Alaska, there are quite a few around the world similar in purpose, or at least recognized purpose, and even more powerful. We have the High Power Auroral Stimulation Observatory in Fairbanks, Alaska. Now, Sam, let's pause for a minute here because I was having a brief conversation with your father. You were, in fact, born in Alaska, spent your first year of life there, which is why you're such a freak.
What? That's Why would you blame that on a geographic location?
I mean, Alaska's just an interesting place,
it's
right?
It's an interesting place.
It's the last frontier.
Yeah.
Right, but you see, there were things going on at a base near where you were born, and your dad was talking about that a little bit last time he was here.
I mean, I don't know if this was just rumor that he was relaying as filtered down through the sands of time, but we're talking and Kelly mentioned something about HARP. And I don't even know if we had to define HARP or if Dad just chimed right in and said, oh, they used to launch rockets up to try to stimulate the Northern Lights. Often they'd shoot them up and the Northern Lights would be on full display.
There you go, guys.
Wait, they're creating the Northern Lights? Well, the Aurora Borealis?
Yeah, I mean, that was one of the at like least admitted purposes of this.
Was to have a fun view?
Well, wasn't just...
That was a... Yeah, just make it pretty, man.
Seems like a weird waste of government funds.
Let's detonate some high-powered thermonuclear devices in the
No, that isn't why. Make it
government
pretty.
Funds drop the D and the S. Government fun. Having a great time.
Like that was. He was just very matter-of-factly like, oh, that was something everybody knew at the time. They were shooting rockets, missiles into the air to stimulate the magnetosphere.
Sam's dad makes Sam look like a believer.
He's a biologist, a very level-headed person who was relaying this with no wild credulity in his eyes, I guess.
So I found that pretty interesting. Anything that he speaks about, I'm always like, oh, wow, well, that's kind of a big deal. There is an interesting map, which of course will be in the show notes of this episode at frightday.com, that has, wonderfully enough, it appears to be pieces of red thread connecting HARP facilities across the world.
It's red thread?
I mean, it looks like red All thread. Right.
Sell red thread in like a little Ziploc.
We should, I think it's along with thumbtacks.
You can add on thumbtacks.
Oh, that's genius. You guys would buy that.
I would buy that.
And a thing of post-it notes.
This is perfect. Shop.frightday.com at some point.
Your conspiracy kit.
Yeah, research kits. Not conspiracy kits, research kits.
All right.
Give me some credit here.
Too many lines and they all connect the same place.
Oh my God. Anyhow, there are facilities all over the place, you guys. America certainly does not have a corner on this, though we have the interesting ones in Alaska. There's some fabulous facilities located everywhere. If you want to take a little drive down to Colorado, we've got one at the Platteville Atmospheric Observatory. There's another one in Massachusetts. There's one in Puerto Rico, which is strong and has a lot of interesting things associated with it, including USOs, which you could listen to in episode 150 some odd or another. There's another one in Lima, Peru. You could go check out the Nazca Lines where you're looking at that one.
Have you marked these out? Do they make some sort of like weird pentagram on a map or something?
I mean, the map that I saw looks really pretty, but it doesn't, no.
There's no.
There's another one in Brazil.
They form the Starbucks logo.
There's one in Norway. The one in Norway, if I remember correctly, is the one that's absolutely huge. There's one in the UK. There's one in the Ukraine. There's one in India. There are a couple in China that we know of. There's one in Japan. There's one in Australia. A couple in Australia, actually.
What I'm getting from all of this is HARP isn't special and that we wasted 2 weeks discussing
No, HARP is actually very special. It's the same way that underground bases are special. They just happen to exist everywhere because Americans aren't the only ones that are going to try to capitalize on it. Do you think that China's going to try to capitalize on weather manipulation?
I would.
Yes,
I would
I think
hope so, actually, because their current state.
Yeah, except I don't know that they would do it for...
They would improve their whatever they got going over there.
Maybe. There is one right by Chernobyl, guys, which is a little bit creepy. That happens to be where the Russian woodpecker emerges, everyone. Speaking of the Russian woodpecker, we're going to get into this a little bit further. One of the concerns that people have about the weather manipulation, beyond kind of the socioeconomic inequalities that we discussed in the last episode, is the belief that they could be used for mind control.
Oh, no. I just found myself on a website that seems like one of your websites. I was reading about the EISCAT, SCAT in Norway.
Yeah, that's the huge one.
Yeah, but I found myself at aircrap.org. The tagline is monitoring the planned poisoning of humanity.
Well, we're going to get there. Don't you worry.
Oh, God.
Oh, good.
Okay. So on the bicentennial of the American Revolution, guys, July 4th, 1976, a broadcast began from Russia known as the Russian Woodpecker. It's a great little noise. Seemed to have come from an early model of a HARP-like device that was using a Tesla magnifying transmitter. If you want to hear more about Tesla, go back and check out part one of our three-part series on HARP.
There's a good chance you already have.
Yeah, I hope you have, because it's
recently,
great.
Even, maybe.
Now, There was concern that this was a radar system designed to detect enemy missile launches. Supposedly, these were broadcast interfering electromagnetic signals, anywhere from 3 to 30 megahertz, and they usually pulsed at an on-off rate of 10 per second, which gave the characteristic tapping, which is why it's called the woodpecker, which I'm sure you guys heard by noise, right?
They did.
What's a delightful, puckish name for something that's created by megawatts of power being indiscriminately beamed out into the ionosphere?
There was a doctor in late 76 who was concerned about the possible health hazard of this noise. He believed it was very clear that the encoding impressed onto carrier wavelengths could have been a central nervous system attack.
I've been sleeping to this.
Well, I would not do that.
It's my white noise machine.
And then listen to this, guys. See if this sounds familiar. In 1976, at the very end of the year, the Boston Globe reported that the U.S. ambassador to the Soviet Union, Walter Stossel, developed a rare blood disease similar to leukemia and was suffering headaches and bleeding from the eyes. Two of his irradiated predecessors, Ambassadors Charles Bolin and Llewellyn Thompson, also died of cancer. So I don't know if you guys have heard recently, there's something a little similar going on in Cuba, which we're going to get to.
But you're saying the sound can make you sick.
To be honest, I'm not saying that. I'm saying that a doctor said that.
Wow.
Yeah.
Also, people get cancer all the time.
So
it's very likely.
Literally everyone will if you live
long enough. In 1981, David Brinkley on NBC Magazine.
NBC Magazine with David Brinkley.
Which was a television show. I never understood why it was called NBC Magazine, but it was. And he told everyone that the Soviets were bombarding the U.S. with low frequency waves. He said, quote, "As I say, I find it hard to believe. It's crazy and none of us here knows what to make of it. The Russian government is known to be trying to change human behavior by external electronic influences. We do know that much. And we know that some kind of Russian transmitter is bombarding this country with extreme low frequency radio waves."
Thank you and good night.
This is going on back in the 80s, you guys, and this is pretty creepy. To be honest, I didn't hear about anything that happened in between. I'm not saying that this wasn't going on, but in 2016, some people started experiencing some pretty crazy symptoms in Cuba.
Because they were sitting too close to their TVs.
The incidents that have been recorded in Cuba have been inflamed by our current administration and have thus caused quite a stir among people thinking they might want to travel to Cuba. It is important to note that the only people reporting any type of adverse symptoms have actually been CIA, NSA, or diplomats. No
civilians.
No civilian tourists. Nothing has been reported. It's actually a very safe place to travel to, by all accounts, and our administration is trying to have a very different impact on it. This is something that absolutely needs to be addressed because it's super creepy, but do not be afraid to travel to Cuba. It does not appear that Cuba is going to attempt to attack any civilians. So probably the best place for you guys to get the full story is an article that was released about a month ago on ProPublica. It was written by Tim Golden and Sebastian Rotella, and it is a very long, well-researched article about the timeline of what happened in Cuba. Here's an anecdote that comes from that story that tells a little bit about the beginning of the turmoil as it pertains to sound waves. As the sun slid into the Florida Straits on that late November evening.
Well, I gotta ask you real quick, what kind of music do you want in the background right now?
Oh, definitely Cuban music.
Cuban music, but like,
Cubano?
Is it like going for
I
it?
I would put like a song, actually, if you could do a song from Scarface, please do a song from Scarface. I'm very serious because like Scarface came from Cuba.
Quit saying that out loud. Like just saying the copyright.
Heart of Glass?
No, I don't want that one. I want like the theme, like the song, the instrumental stuff.
You got it. And okay.
All right, ready? As the sun slid into the Florida Straits on that late November evening, the diplomat folded back the living room doors that opened onto the family's new tropical garden. He then removed a chainsaw and cut the person in the bathtub to smithereens. Just kidding, that's from Scarface.
Oh, okay, another reference.
And they don't use the word smithereens either.
Yeah, I was going to say that's very...
The warm night air poured in along with an almost overpowering din. It was annoying to the point where you could go in the house and close all the windows and doors and turn up the TV, but I never particularly worried about it. I figured I'm in a strange country and the insects here make loud noises. A few nights later, the diplomat and his wife invited over the family of another American embassy official who lived next door. Around dusk, they chatted on the patio. The same deafening sound arose from their yard. I'm pretty sure those are cicadas, the first diplomat said. How about cicadas? It's a theme, eh?
A circle.
Those are not cicadas, his neighbor insisted. Cicadas don't sound like that. It's too mechanical sounding. The colleague had been hearing the same noises at home, sometimes for an hour or more at a stretch. After he complained to the embassy housing office, a couple of Cuban maintenance workers were dispatched to look around. They checked for electrical problems and scanned the yard for strange insects, but they left without finding anything out of place. In February, the tightly knit racket finally began to fade. Then it went away altogether. These people are hearing this really weird noise. They're complaining about it.
What is it exactly?
Have you ever heard cicadas?
Yeah, just kind of that constant.
But it's a constant noise and it sounds mechanical, apparently, is the way that it's been described by multiple.
Much like that mystery noise that we covered like 2 years ago in Oregon?
Yes.
We live in an awesome place where there aren't weird bugs that make noise all night.
This is true. Now, it was not until a Friday in late March that the diplomat realized he might be facing something more dangerous than bugs. At work that day, an embassy colleague with whom he was friendly took him aside and said he was leaving Cuba right away. A fit-looking man in his 30s, the colleague said he had just been in Miami, where medical specialists found he had a series of problems, including serious hearing loss. In late December, he said, he had been struck by a strange, disturbing phenomenon, a powerful beam of high-pitched sound that seemed to be pointed right at him. The following Monday, the diplomat's friend played him a recording of the noise. It sounded a lot like what the diplomat had heard in his backyard. Now, there are a series of people who reported hearing the same thing. There have been issues with brain activity, hearing loss. Mm-hmm. It is appearing that there has been some type of a purposeful attack on American diplomats in Cuba. Now, again, I want to reiterate, this has nothing to do with civilians. There's no reason to be afraid to travel to Cuba. In fact, I would totally go there if I had the money right now. It's on my list. I would love to. My grandfather actually used to hang out in Cuba. Very weird.
So, Kelly, now I'm concerned. I thought my ears were ringing and have been ringing for the past year because I fell asleep in that bathtub out of exhaustion.
Oh, right. Yeah, I remember that
story. But maybe I'm being targeted.
I mean, I feel like if you were going to be targeted, I would be targeted, and I haven't heard a damn thing.
Well, why would you be targeted?
The thing is, like, they know that without me, this thing doesn't go out.
The whole thing unravels.
Yeah.
Like, you're the brains. I'm the...
If anybody would be taking the blows, it would be me because they know.
So the sounds were first heard in November of 2016. It wasn't until the end of that December that the first victim sought help. This was the younger man in his 30s. Had really bad headaches, hearing problems, sharp pain in one ear. There were plenty of people that followed. And there have been some studies. I think University of Pennsylvania did a study since trying to figure out what the heck's going on. It's actually very creepy. And I suggest reading this whole article. Like I said, this ProPublica report is incredibly well done. Trying not to make political commentary.
Don't do it.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Maybe now would be a good time for a commercial break.
Okay, sure.
You guys, they're back. And the same as ever, which is great because that's what they've always been. This episode is brought to you by Sudio. And we all know hearing, also known as auditory perception, is the ability to perceive sound by detecting vibration, changes in pressure of the surrounding medium through time, through an organ such as the ear. You're doing this with my voice right now, and it's possible you're being assisted by headphones. Of course, they can privatize your listening experience, and personally, I don't blame you. The government is definitely paying attention. But why not look cool while experiencing premium quality audio of often conspiratorial content? Or whatever you want to listen to. Sudio is the solution for you. Sudio has now sent us each a pair of their Tray model Bluetooth earbuds, and I have to say, they're quickly becoming more than earbuds. They're ear pals. We're borderline best friends. The Tray sound signature is well balanced, with each tone represented clearly for an even listening experience. They also offer something called full sound transparency, meaning a user, like myself, can still hear my surroundings without having to remove my earphones. That way, I can hear what people shopping next to me at the grocery store think of my tired edit eyes. Sudio wants to revolutionize the way people see headphones, not just as a tech device, but also as an accessory. Currently, the headphone market can only offer you one of two things, style or tech. Fashionable headphones tend to lack proper sound quality, and high-tech variations are bulky and not design-oriented. Sudio has bridged that gap. And right now, you can use the promo code FRIGHTDAY15 to save 15% at sudio.com.
make sure to click the link in this episode's description to let them know that we sent you. And thank you so much, Studio, for your support. Now, back to the show.
I love those little rubber wings.
I think mine
are... Are you trying to put them all the way over your ears?
No, that would be funny. You can't die. Stop doing the laugh to sad cough.
I will die when I want to.
It's like every time in a movie where there's like a lighthearted moment where you almost forget like the main character's sick. Dying. And then you're like, oh. You know, the music changes. Uh-oh.
What's wrong?
Two men transported to the hospital.
Where? What are you talking about?
I just got a news alert I gotta read. Explosion in Austin. Still happening.
Jesus.
Were you aware of that when I was down there? Yeah.
No, I didn't.
I was
no
following
idea.
Them.
Package bombs in Austin. They were going the whole time. Yep, another one. All right. Well, I'm back, and so are we.
In July of 2017, the State Department's medical services came up with a report after examining victims. So they said, quote, some of what the diplomats had experienced could have come from other sources, including viral illness, previous head trauma, aging, and even stress. But the consensus was that the patterns of injuries that had so far been noted were most likely related to trauma from a non-natural source. This is creepy, guys. This is like James Bond stuff.
Well, yeah, nothing's creepier than James Bond 007.
Yeah.
James Bond weapon stuff is very creepy.
Look at the Black Panther.
I watch these movies differently.
A lot of the diplomats have suffered persistent cognitive, vestibular, and oculomotor dysfunction, as well as sleep impairment and headaches between late 2016 and August 2017. Now, a lot of these people have left and then not gone back. It's pretty creepy. So I don't know what's going on, you guys, but this sounds...
So you're implying that it's possibly because they're being blasted with frequencies from harp-like arrays?
Yes, well...
What about poisoning? Is that
technology,
a possibility?
No, there's nothing... There isn't anything that they can find poison-wise or in their system.
Okay.
It also could be that Cuba's just really turning up the heat on chemtrails.
Oh, no.
Really? I'm going to be honest, guys. We aren't going to get too deep in the chemtrail contrails, but it's kind of the last piece of HAARP that I really need to at least touch on.
Okay.
Here are the facts. When jets fly across the sky, they often leave trails of billowing cloud-like stuffs behind them. You guys have seen those, right?
Yeah, I always assumed it was some sort of fog from moisture.
Well, we're going to talk about that. Oh. So this is because as they fly, they release a really hot air, especially when compared to the air around them, because they're up high where the air is cold. So they're releasing hot air along with water vapor, which results in humidity. And this humid air, because it's so different from the air surrounding it, it's also dry.
Instant cloud.
Creates condensation. Just like when you jump in a cold car with wet hair and you turn on the heat, it happens to me all the time. You get condensation, right? So as the water vapor comes out the jet engine, it can condense into water drops and then even crystallize into tiny bits of ice, which then looks like a cloud. And suddenly you've got a condensation trail. That's what the contrail comes from, okay?
Okay.
Now, if the humidity in the air on any given day is high, the trails stick around for a long time, whereas the humidity being lower will result in them dissipating much more quickly.
And when it does, it really makes for beautiful sunset pictures.
Yeah, they are really
fun. On Instagram, very popular.
I agree. There are some pretty rational concerns that, based on the way that a jet engine works, the water vapor in these crystal cloud trails contain other components that are natural byproducts of jet engines that form them, like carbon dioxide, nitrogen oxide, sulfate particles, soot, all of that stuff. I think that's a pretty rational fear that, ooh, yuck, like that's in our air right above us. Ew, gross. Okay.
Over the past few weeks, we've talked about exploding nuclear weapons.
Yes, in the grand
sky.
Scheme of things, of course,
I'd
right?
say a little bit of air soot.
Isn't as bad. I agree.
I mean, they're saying activated charcoal. Charcoal is good for you now. So.
Well, that's only for brushing your teeth.
Well, people are taking it internally.
I don't know. I eat a lot of that.
Yeah, every time I try and
just
eat
charcoal,
it,
right?
Like I try to take vitamins with it. And
okay.
That's your problem. You just got to eat a big bag of Kingsford and just nibble on them while you're at your desk.
You're not keeping them in. Okay, stop. Four? And that's plenty.
Now, there are some other concerns.
How do you think
concerns?
That's going to go, that bit?
I don't know. There's some other concerns that Sam and Byron would probably deem as irrational. Some of these concerns are that the government is intentionally placing even more nasty byproducts in these trails that have a variety of effects on populations. Perhaps poison, perhaps mind control, etc.
Wait, whoa. Poison and mind control?
All right. One of the most interesting articles.
Adventures.
I don't think that Baggins has that much money, guys. You need to lay off of him. His movie was fantastic,
and
which
we'll
we're
going to
talk
that.
About in a minute. Yeah. But
so wait,
it is. So hold on. Let's just talk about this for a second. There is a belief that contrails can somehow help slow down the effects of global warming and ozone depletion.
Okay.
And so some conspiracy theorists believe that the government is releasing chemicals that are attempting to slow that down.
Kind of like in Snowpiercer.
But then have a really bad effect.
I'm hungry.
Oh my God, stop it. But then have a really bad effect on the people below. And so you will find, as opposed to some of the like crazy Alex Jones type folks who believe in contrails, also find some super hippie like left-wing folks who believe in contrails because they think that it's hurting their crops.
Yeah, the continuum, if you go far enough around in one way, you're going to run into the other side of it. So that's not surprising.
It's important to remember that as long ago as the 1950s, the British successfully seeded clouds with salt, dry ice, and silver iodide to make rain. It can be done. And if there is a reason for the government to do it, it's hard to believe that they wouldn't be doing it.
Well, and they did do it in the Vietnam War.
And here is one of the best arguments I've heard against chemtrails, that if the government was creating these clouds that were supposed to be poisoning things or having some kind of an effect on the populations below, they would probably use a method that was a little bit more reliable than clouds that could billow away based upon the humidity of the air around them. So, you know, they only stick around if it's really humid, if it's not really humid. Now, you could take that one step further in the line of conspiracy thinking and say, well, they're also probably controlling the humidity around it because they're using harp-like devices to control the atmosphere around the planes, and that's how they get them to stay in place. I'm not going to go that far with it. I'm going to go ahead and say chemtrails and contrails need an episode all their own.
I would imagine so.
But it's important that everybody knows that they do connect to harp, and this is why you often hear the topics discussed in tandem.
It's a multi-pronged attack against us.
The theories behind harp would be the theories that made chemtrails effective if they are a thing that's actually happening. So I would encourage all of our listeners in the coming weeks to please take a peek at contrails that fly over your house. If you notice anything unusual, take a picture and send it to me. I'm going to be doing a little bit more observation. I'm not the most observant person by nature, so I'm going to really try to actually get a handle on what's going on in our neck of the woods and see if I can catch anything weird. I have to say that chemtrails were something I was pretty interested in, though knew nothing about, and after my very brief surface research as it connects to harp, I am kind of a skeptic, guys. I'm not buying into this one yet. I'm going to need to hear a lot more convincing arguments before I buy into chemtrails.
So we can look forward to a full episode about chemtrails in the near future.
At some point in the future, yeah. We might have to do it after Moon Month, but yes.
Oh my God. I was hoping you would forget.
I will never forget Moon Month. Lunar rabbits.
Sorry.
All right. As long as we don't do Turkey Month, I'm fine with that.
And well, that's not until November.
Well, thank you so much for that report, Kelly.
You're so welcome, guys.
So after watching this week's film, and no offense if you live here, Gary, Indiana seems to be a very scary place.
I concur.
But beyond its general scariness, there is a bit of a spooky house.
A demon house.
You want to talk about
it? Of sorts.
I would like to talk about it, right. And I would like to talk about it without the mocking.
Let's review Demon House.
Hope you're enjoying your visit here this evening. Now, on with the show.
Demon House is a 2018 American documentary film directed and written by Zach Bagans, starring himself, Billy Tolan, Jay Walsley, and Jay Wasley. Walsley? Wasley.
Was he Wasley? Wasn't he?
Sam, can you tell me about this movie?
In 2014, a demon possession story out of Gary, Indiana caused a worldwide media sensation. It included claims that a boy had walked backwards up the wall of a hospital emergency room in front of family and staff, and that a priest had performed multiple exorcisms. Famous paranormal investigator Zach Bagans was producing an episode of his popular TV series when the story broke. A day later, he bought the location of the haunting over the phone, sight unseen. It was the next Amityville. But Zach and his crew were unprepared for what awaited them at a house that clairvoyants claimed was possessed by 200 demons.
I know you guys are going to make fun of this, but there is some legitimately...
What? Make fun of a paranormal documentary?
You guys, there is some very legitimately creepy stuff in this. And though there are pieces that you could explain away, you can't prove them false. And there are some pieces that you absolutely can't explain away in any rational manner. I'm going to be excited to see how you guys deal with some of those.
But I would like to start at the beginning with this. It's got an intro with a warning.
Okay, so I mean, that was a little cheesy, but
the following documentary may not be suitable for all audiences.
Fair.
This film shows real people, places, and events involving alleged demon possessions. Demonologists believe that demons can attach themselves to you through other people, objects, and electronic devices. View at your own risk.
I mean, it was kind of fun, though. Like, that's a kind of a fun beginning.
I don't hate that. It's fun and so spooky. It's like a based on the true story in front of a movie.
It is, but
okay. So, do you guys think
presenting itself as a documentary?
It's every bit as much a documentary as Bowling for Columbine. I'm just going to come out and say that.
No one ever accuses that of being a documentary.
Let's just. I would like to start with the backstory of the house. Can we do that, you guys?
Of course, yeah.
Okay. So, a woman named Latoya Ammons had three kiddos. She had a 7-year-old, a 9-year-old, and a 12-year-old. And in 2011, they moved into a home in Gary, Indiana. Strange stuff started happening right away. For example,
that was the beginning of their bad luck.
It's the middle of winter, but they've got these giant black flies that keep swarming on their porch.
Lots and
they keep
of them.
Tons
Amityville.
Of them. And they keep killing them, and then they come back, and they keep killing them, and then they come back. They would hear footsteps coming up the basement stairs.
I have the same problem with Girl Scouts here.
They'd lock the doors.
How's that a problem?
But doors would continue to open and close. Latoya and her three children moved in, but the grandmother was there, it sounds like, a good chunk of the time as well.
Mm-hmm.
The grandmother saw a man pacing in the living room. She found wet footprints, but no body to match them.
That could have just been a stranger.
And then one night, in the middle of the night, the family had been grieving because somebody close to them had recently passed away.
That's terrible.
They heard a noise in the girl's bedroom and went in and found her, the 12-year-old girl, levitating several feet above her bed, but she was completely unconscious. So now at this point, we're only talking about things that the family's witnessed. So I'm going to go ahead and say, like, I don't disbelieve this.
It's weird. I've never seen anything like that in reality or cinema. Ever.
Okay, so the point is,
wait a second,
where do you come up with that idea?
Stop it, you guys, listen to the rest of the story before you start naysaying everything and sounding like a goddamn idiot. The family was too cash
just
strapped.
One idiot.
It's because you only have half a brain.
That means we're half not idiot.
The family was
sucker.
The family was really broke, so they weren't going to be able to move, which makes sense to me. So they decided to go to their church, their religious folks, mm-hmm. to try and get some help. They burned sage, they burned sulfur. But the strange occurrences didn't stop.
Wait, where do you get sulfur? You can just burn this?
You just dump water on it and it burns.
Oh my God.
Right?
I have no idea. I am not a chemist.
I'm just curious. Don't worry.
I'm a cryptozoologist. So the kids would get these weird buggy eyes, kind of like our kids, I guess.
And we see a little bit of that in the reenactments.
In the reenactments.
And we'll talk about that.
There is a story that the youngest boy tried to kill his older brother. Rather than help, the family doctor assumed that there was some type of child abuse going on here, which I don't think is a crazy assumption. You know, when you hear some of these things and the kids are acting very strange, you might assume that there's some type of drug use mm-hmm. happening in the household and the kids have gotten hold of the drugs.
And also, I don't want to stereotype Gary, Indiana more than I have.
We've got some pretty bad drug problems in Gary, Indiana.
And it seemed like Child Protective Services, it was a pretty regular occurrence for many families in that
yes,
area.
I think that they have a more difficult than average job there. But when the Child Protective Services showed up, the social worker arrived, and literally she has verified mm-hmm. that she saw the boy walking backwards up the wall.
Well, and this was
now,
when
this
they got
is
to the
where,
hospital.
This is where we get to something that's super, super, super creepy. Yes, this is when they were at the hospital. The doctor had reported the family. The social worker shows up and sees the boy walking backwards up the wall. Mm-hmm. Here's the report. He walked up the wall, flipped over her, and stood there. There's no way he could have done that. Pretty creepy, guys.
Yeah, but is she familiar with a little gentleman named Jet Li?
Okay, not funny. So you guys can't just deflect that. Like, this is verifiable eyewitness testimony.
Yeah, and,
this is not
this
the family.
This wasn't just seen by CPS. It was also seen by nurses and I think a doctor.
Yes, this is where we start to get into the area of, okay, guys, you can't just easily write this off. I'm going to go ahead and say that jumping from that to assuming that this is a portal to hell and that the place is possessed by demons, I don't think that you can necessarily make that jump, all right? But what I saw in this movie, when Zach Bagans comes in and starts investigating and they're filming, there are some pieces that are very strange. Now, you guys know my thoughts on Bagans and Ghost Adventures.
Yes.
I think a lot of what they see, teeny tiny stuff that you know, may or may not be something. But I think that Baggins...
also amplified for television.
May or may not, but definitely is not.
But I think that Baggins is very authentic. I do not think that he's a liar. I do not think that he makes stuff up. I think that he believes very honestly in what he's doing. And when you watch the pieces of this movie, particularly at the beginning, there's a scene where they're walking around in what looked to be either the dining room or living room of this house. And Zach is getting visibly agitated, like really angry.
Very interesting
with one
scenes,
of the cameramen.
Yeah.
Okay.
It's funny you say aggravated.
Well, I actually watched this movie a couple, maybe over a month ago at this point. I was watching it before bed, and I, at the beginning, Zach just said some things that I just found very striking. It's so striking, in fact, that I filmed them with my phone and sent them to you. And I actually wrote them down here. He says, "I'm one of the leading researchers of ghosts and demonology. And this is the case that really fucked me up." He's not doing himself many favors, setting up for being taken very seriously.
See, and I disagree. I think that the audience, you know, it's funny because I actually recorded an interview earlier today with a different podcast about being authentic, which I thought was a very interesting topic. And I think that Baggins is very authentic. I don't think that there's any reason for him to pretend to be something that he's not. This is who he is. He's a grassroots investigator. He is somebody who does not pretend to have a PhD in psychology. I think that Zach does a very good job of remaining true to who he is. And I think that that quote is perfectly in line with that. That is something that he would say. And it's lines like that that make me feel like I can trust him because he's not pretending to be something he's not.
But I gotta say, you do not get this far in the industry on authenticity alone. He knows how to weave a story and sell it.
It takes a lot of juggalos buying your merchandise.
Okay, God.
I agree that he is a great storyteller, but I do not think that that means he's inauthentic. I think that he knows how to edit a show to make it seem great, how to cut the boring stuff out and leave the interesting stuff in. But I don't think he's making stuff up. I don't think that he's staging things. I really, especially with this film.
I was going to say, this film is a lot different than Ghost Adventures.
Thank you.
And Ghost Adventures is October guilty pleasure of mine. If it's on, it's a fun thing to set the vibe
with. It's super
fun. I agree. I 100%.
But this feels like a whole different level of creepy, and there are enough circumstances that take place in this. So let's move on to one of the next events that I think was pretty creepy, Byron. The crew, one of the cameramen is, I mean, he's a little bit grungy. He's a little grungy. He could have had, you know, perhaps a drug problem. I don't really know.
So. Zach doesn't buy all these houses by picking people he has to pay a lot to do his work for him.
Did he end up dying? He didn't end up dying, did
he? Well, no, he didn't, but he got heavily involved in satanic art.
Oh, I thought he just got
Remember
into
he took
drugs.
All those sexy pictures with inverted crosses painted on him?
Oh, I didn't pick up on that being the
that
theme.
That was kind of what they were implying, is I that got like the, he was like tortured beyond this project and started
I just
back
got
to
the idea that he went back to drugs. Yeah.
Well, yeah. He's not alone in being affected.
Well, and
quote
this,
unquote.
Honestly, the scene that shows him kind of wigging out was pretty creepy to me, because when he returned and was talking to Zach and the other crew member, he didn't seem drugged out. Like he seemed very well within his mind, just completely terrified.
During the talk or the Elisa Lam elevator shout match?
During the talk, after the creepy elevator scene, when he came back into the hotel room and they
we
were secretly filming
explain
him.
This a little bit.
Yeah, you should.
Basically, they're awoken and startled by him yelling in the hall, and they're like, he's going to get us kicked out. They go out there, and he is yelling at...
I would imagine you have to do a lot to get kicked out of a hotel.
Out of
in
a
Gary,
Best
Indiana.
Western, which isn't best.
I like Best
or
Western.
Or in this case, Western.
I don't mind him.
They go into the hall, and he is yelling and slamming his hands against an elevator door. He thinks that there's a spirit in the elevator, and he's doing the typical Ghost Adventures aggressive confrontation move. Where you yell at a ghost to do something, bitch.
Right, which, I mean, again, seemed very much in line with his character.
Sure,
like
absolutely.
That scene, it didn't seem like he was faking it, I guess, is what I would go towards. I think that whatever was going on with him, he was reacting to in the way that he would react. I mean, that character, as much as we knew about him at that point, seemed like somebody who would, in the face of some type of creepy, unexplained presence, get real aggro in its face. That
absolutely.
Seemed like it would be his reaction. So it made sense to me. But then when he sat down with them in the hotel room and he asked them to stop filming, and they didn't.
They didn't stop, because
he didn't seem like a drugged out mess to me. He seemed very frightened, but he was making sense. He was very coherent.
That was a cool moment. I agree. That
was very creepy.
It was very unsettling, and it seemed unplanned.
Yeah.
And that was one of the things that kind of stood out to me. The rest of the crew was using their cell phones to film. And like, obviously, yeah, that's not something if you're planning a shoot, everyone's not standing next to each other holding a cell right. phone.
No, the parapsychologist, Barry Taff, who I get you guys are going to laugh at him because his title is a parapsychologist, but he was a very normal guy. He was very rational in the way that he approached things during his investigation.
Home inspector to me, but.
Right. But he seemed like a home inspector, which means that he seemed very rational to you. But he had all of this crazy organ failure, which they certainly didn't fake. He had no health problems going into it, and then afterwards suddenly had a ton of health problems that have continued. Super scary.
I don't know. Someone whose job is to go into houses and measure elements that are dangerous.
No, he's a parapsychologist. He goes in and measures like ghost elements is what he's measuring,
Byron. He was measuring magnetic pull from the Earth's core.
He was measuring, which, first of all, that's not dangerous. Second of all, he was trying to see if there was another explanation for what was being experienced there so that he could make sure that it was something actually paranormal. That's all he was trying to do.
All right.
I promise.
Okay.
I really promise. And then, obviously, the most melodramatic thing that occurred had to do with actually a couple that were friends with Zach.
Ooh, yeah. This was
this
funny.
This is pretty brutal.
This
wasn't funny.
Well, no, the situation I was watching this in full with one of my friends, and wait a second.
Oh,
didn't
yeah.
they? Because I knew what happened. Zach was actually in a text conversation with Debbie, her feelings with the Demon House, and then less than a month after their conversation.
As SWAT teams tried to bring an end to a hostage situation today, they found it had already come to a deadly conclusion, but that's just part of the story. Well, we've been working the crime beat all day, and today's events all started when a man was found dead inside a North Reno home, right?
Yeah, that's right, Ari. Early this morning, the Reno Police Department responded to a North Reno home where a woman found one of her two roommates dead from gunshot wounds. When police got there, they learned that a third roommate, Debbie Constantino, was missing, and her estranged husband, Mark Constantino, may be the suspect. Officers were able to locate both Mark and Debbie by pinging their cell phones, bringing officers to the Courtside Garden Apartments in Sparks. When they tried to talk to Mark, the situation turned violent.
At that point, we heard shots were fired from inside. A male voice told us to leave.
Police set up a perimeter and waited for both Reno and Sparks SWAT teams to arrive. They were able to get a hold of Mark on the phone, and through negotiations, found out Debbie was also inside the apartment and being held hostage. After several hours of attempting to get Constantino to surrender, the SWAT team stormed the apartment.
The SWAT team's plan to make entry was applied at that time, and two people were found deceased in the apartment. And this is a huge tragedy for a lot of people. It's horrible. It's horrible.
Do you still spend time with Marilyn?
This is video we shot with Mark and Debbie Constantino back in 2007. We met up with them several times as they attempted to speak to ghosts through Nevada and across the country.
Back the lights out. They don't look late.
Their website, spiritspeak.com, shows the couple and their numerous nationwide visits to different conventions.
Mark Constantino killed Debbie and her roommate and then shot himself.
Yeah.
So pretty brutal, odd coincidence to be kind of drawn into this project.
Very...
A couple silly things, though.
Okay, all right.
The main sheriff in this project...
Oh, I thought that was great.
He's a great guy. He slipped on the ice and hit his head. Come on.
Yeah, but like, here's the thing.
It's winter in Gary, Indiana. I slip at least 3 times every winter.
But it wasn't just that. It was all of the stories that he talked about in connection with the house. And the fact is that this guy, as a sheriff in Gary, Indiana, has seen some stuff, B.
It did seem like it.
And if he has seen some stuff and he finds this place to be abnormally, like, mm-hmm. paranormal and creepy, I'm going to take the man's word at it.
Well, and of course, there's the CPS woman who saw the boy walking backwards up the wall.
And the nurses.
Well, but she moved.
Basically started her life over and couldn't be a social worker anymore.
I don't think she's affected by demons. I think she...
I think it freaked her out. I don't think it has anything to do with her being possessed.
In any supernatural way.
No, I think that what she saw was completely unexplainable and terrifying, and it changed her perspective on life.
But I think a lot of times that the movie was trying to imply that everyone was affected.
Oh, see, I didn't take it that way. I just thought that, you know, it was more evidence that something really happened, I guess, is what I would say.
Yeah. The film is cursed, quote unquote.
Yeah.
Sam, you haven't said much.
No, I had
great.
I think that Zach is really good at what he does. And I enjoy, like you say, I love watching Ghost Adventures during the Halloween season. It's something to put on. Spooky night vision cameras, mm-hmm. weird noises, people getting all freaked out.
How did you feel about the reenactments of the events? That was something we haven't talked on.
As a general rule, I am not a fan of reenactments, I would say.
I thought these reenactments were really fun. I enjoyed them thoroughly.
Yeah, they reminded me of a less artistic version of The Nightmare.
Oh, see, I thought they were every bit as good as The Nightmare.
No, I didn't say good or bad. I said less artistic, which that was my complaint with The Nightmare, was it was a bit too stylized.
These felt good. I liked them.
You know, I don't want to give away the big finale of this, but I should say that there's something that happens
to Zach
that hasn't left him.
Irrefutable evidence, I would call it.
I wouldn't say evidence. I'd say situational
just
coincidence.
Crazy coincidence.
And I think that is how I feel about most hauntings and this specific haunting as well. I think that this is an incredible story. I like the way it was told. And honestly, they say it several times in this movie. This is the next Amityville. And I think that it very well could be a modern haunting that is going to stand the test of time and maybe be made into a feature film.
Which I still don't understand whether Zach's the one that holds the rights to that or whether somebody else
does.
It was
a very confusing moment of
some producer trying to put a monkey wrench in his production plans.
Yeah.
I'm glad that he prevailed. No. I think that getting the documentary out before any kind of fictionalized account comes out is very important.
Absolutely. I guess I've said enough things that I should give it a grade in that little run there.
Yeah.
5.8 people who won't talk about it.
Oh, yeah. No surprise to anyone who's listening. I'm going to give the highest score from our team here. This movie I've been looking forward to for quite a long time. I love watching Ghost Adventures. Some of the episodes are really fun and some of them actually genuinely freak me out. This movie scared me significantly and it scared me more than any of the Ghost Adventures episodes have. I look forward to hearing more about the Gary, Indiana story. I'm glad to see that the house has been torn down. Hopefully nobody builds on it. And I, for one, would love to see Zach do full feature documentaries with a couple other stories, because I think that this is something he's pretty skilled at.
Kelly, before you give your score.
Yeah?
I forgot to show you something.
Oh, no.
I was watching this with my friend Luke. And immediately after the film ended, he pulled up his sleeve. And he had this strange rash on his arm. And then I took a picture of it. And one thing we forgot to focus on is basically the inciting incident of this film is Zach has a dream that involves a Baphomet type
goat man.
Yeah. Ooh, creepy.
Or man goat.
And I want you to look at this rash and maybe tell me what you see.
No way. That's ridiculous.
What do you think?
You guys faked
that. No, I didn't fake that. Here, there's...
You faked that.
There's four pictures.
Here, what do you guys think?
I'll show you, and I will post this picture in the show notes of this episode. What do you think?
Okay, that is obviously a goat man Baphomet.
It's pretty ridiculous. Like, right?
Yeah, it's a goat man.
I also,
Luke, go to a dermatologist.
Yeah, man, that doesn't look healthy.
That could be contagious.
Jesus.
Like, do you see his face reaction? Like, this is...
Yeah, that would be my face.
It's really interesting. I once again, I don't really believe in this stuff, but I had to ask him several times. I said, you didn't have that before the movie started.
And is he okay now?
No, I don't know. I've been kind of holding that from you for a while now.
Holy cow.
It's pretty interesting.
That's super scary.
Show us this frightening.com. And... Tell me your score.
I give Demon House, Baggins' first feature-length documentary film.
Ghost Adventures is his first feature-length documentary film.
Oh, right. It was the precursor to the show.
Yes.
Well, anyhow. I give it 7.8 candles under the stairs.
All right.
I am going to give it 5.0, maybe demons.
No reasons. Sam, you said your piece. Those are our thoughts on Demon House, which is available now on iTunes, YouTube, Google Play, a couple other VOD places. So check it out if this intrigues you at all. It's a really interesting story. And I know a few of you have talked about this, and I know a lot of you are going to want to discuss this Luke Baphomet rash picture, which I didn't really ask permission to post, but I guess...
Maybe post the one without his face.
Right on his...
Okay. Well,
And yeah, let's talk about it in the Facebook group, facebook.com/group/FrightDay or FrightDay.club. Lots of great conversation going there. Lots of bad conversation going over at Kelly's Facebook group. She loves it. A lot of people over there seem to really enjoy themselves. That's the KCC Academy Facebook group. So check that out too.
Mm-hmm.
We're on Instagram and Twitter at FrightDay. Follow us there, but not too closely.
It makes us
as
nervous.
As closely as you want.
I don't know.
It's fine.
It makes me uncomfortable for sure.
Doesn't make
your
uncomfortable.
Eyes, your beady eyes on my back.
You're all welcome at the Academy.
Right. I was thinking of Kelly.
And if you like our show and want to help us make it even better, of course, grab something spooky at shop.frightday.com. We've got so many great product ideas, and I think I'm actually going to start pulling the trigger on a few.
Yeah, some of this crap, you guys are just not going to be able to wait to get into your houses and on your bodies and in your ears and in your bellies.
Okay, well, we cannot sell edible goods legally on the internet, but Kelly, you like sprinkles, right?
Oh my God, I love sprinkles so much.
I mean,
round sprinkles, rectangular sprinkles.
You never really know.
Flat sprinkles, round sprinkles.
We're going to be, I mean, at some point selling a special sprinkle. That could be a thing. Also, I really like the idea of your red string kit with encouragement notes written on a post-it.
Amazing.
That sounds fun. I also drew up the night vision version of your KCC UFO.
Whoa. Why haven't you showed that to me yet?
I don't know. But also, I was thinking, you know how your logo already kind of looks like the Ramones logo?
Yes.
What if we made an April Fool's Ramones that says like Fright Day and has that circle thing that says Kelly, Sam, Byron, and then has the little thing?
I'm down for it.
Might be kind of fun.
I'm totally down for it.
But it has to be like Kelly, Sammy, Byron-y.
Oh, that's kind of fun. Lots of great things at shop.frightday.com. And that, of course, helps us get to places like South by Southwest, which was a great time. I'm still recovering. Once again, if you want to know how it was, frightday.com. And that's a great place not only for South by Southwest updates. It's a great place to read articles by our excellent staff who just recorded.
Amazing.
Just recorded a writer's room without me. My little ones are growing up. They're so big.
They do good work. They're good people.
The writer's room will be available for Patreon patrons at the $4 level or higher at patreon.com/frightday. And that's not the only show you get. You get full-length episodes of Captain Kelly's Cryptids and Conspiracies. We're up to 17 of those. Byron's Serial Corner, I'm working on my third episode. Sometimes Sam posts music. He also is writing a book. Don't know what that's been. Is that what you did this week?
Leave me alone, man.
Okay. I won't get on your case, but
I
know that.
I'll tell you what I was doing up there in the woods.
So far, I really enjoy your book. I hope that there's no chapters on nefarious things in the woods because.
Don't worry about it.
All right. Good.
Oh, hey, we need to thank some people who sent us some awesome, absolutely, awesome stuff.
Oh, my gosh.
Mike and Crystal at the Painted Cupful. Wow, you guys.
Are you crying?
No, I mean, probably, but no, it's phlegm.
Oh, gross. All right.
These guys sent us this incredible assortment of drinkware. Byron is holding in his hands right now a black coffee mug with Pogo the Clown hand-painted onto it, and it is a thing of beauty. Kelly is drinking out of
I've got Nessie, which is one of a series of four wine glasses that I got for my birthday, but they also sent me a Puckwudgie wine glass, which has a stem on it and is so glorious, and the only reason I'm not drinking out of that is because I've used like the last 4 days to even drink water out of, and so it's dirty.
That's a weird thing to do.
It is. It's totally weird. I liked what I saw so much that I bought four more of them for Kelly for her birthday. Then on top of that, they sent us a copy of Mansions of Madness with fully painted miniatures for it, which is, I don't know if you have any idea how much time goes into that, but wow, you guys.
It's incredible.
Mike, thank you for that. Crystal, thank you very much for the cups, both of you. Thank you for
your
art.
Yeah, you're the legit best.
Thank you guys for being listeners and for taking such good care of us. So like I said, check out the Painted Cupful on Etsy. And
if you can top that, send us more stuff to please try.
If you could just send Sam some new lungs, that'd be great.
That'd be cool.
Just one.
But most helpful of all, leave us a review on iTunes. That's the best way to get us in ears and up charts.
Up ears and in charts?
Did I say up ears?
No, you didn't.
Oh, good. I was pretty concerned. It's kind of second nature at this point. And I'm really happy to be back from South by Southwest, guys.
We're sure happy to have you back in town.
Yeah,
man.
Patreon patrons, I don't know if you saw this pop up on your feed. I posted the Q&As from three of the premieres. So
cool.
I don't know if that's something you're into. But people, if they're into following you on the internet, Kelly, where can they do that?
You can find me on Twitter at Kelly Frightday, or you can email me, Kelly@Frightday.com. By the way, Byron, I know that we probably aren't due for another True Tales of Terror for a little while, but holy cow.
I heard there was a pretty great possession story.
We've got a series of incredible stories. I've gotten so much stuff in the last couple of weeks from listeners.
Wow.
Of actually like good stuff. So.
Implying that like people have sent in bad things?
Not the garbage that you fools have been sending for the last 3 years.
No, I'm just saying like there's really, really good stuff.
Well, that's great.
Yeah.
How about you, Sam?
I am at what? Are we doing our addresses?
Yeah, we are. You got to get better, man.
I am at Sam Frightday. Email me sam@frightday.com.
And I'm at Byron McCoy on Twitter, Instagram, Snapchat. Why do I say it every time? Who uses that?
I don't think anybody does anymore.
Actually, all the kids do, I think. Oh,
I think it's going away.
Byron@frightday.com is my email address. I'm working on a really interesting semi-local serial corner, so look forward to that. But until next Frightday, I'm Byron.
I'm Kelly.
And I'm Sam. Stay away from Gary, Indiana.
Oof, sorry.
When do we get sprinkles? When do we get branded sprinkles?
I found 5 pounds for $9. We just need bottles and then stickers. And then I guess we can illegally sell sprinkles on the internet. Because
what are you worried about? We put it all together.
I mean,
from a big bag of sprinkles we got from, we assume, China, although you can't be sure where it actually came from. Exactly. Outer Mongolia, maybe?
It's from webstaurant.com. Okay?
Hold on, what kind of sprinkles are we talking about?
The thing is, I found rainbow, but I also thought you might want to make your own proprietary mix.
I do want to make a proprietary mix.
All white.
No, I want a proprietary mix! I want to make my own sprinkles!
God. She wants just
white. That's all it takes?
Just white.
No, I don't like just white. I want all colors. I want them to have every color in the rainbow. I really want some of the
You're
beets.
Protesting too much.